We are in our second week of a series called Free, and that video and much of the content, just full disclosure, comes from Andy Stanley and North Point Community Church. So if after we get done it doesn't make sense to you or you want to go see the original version, you can find it on their website. But we began last week with this simple truth, that it's impossible to find a solution to a problem if you don't know what the problem is to begin with. Right? It's impossible to find a solution to a problem or to solve a problem if we don't know what the problem is in the first place. And the reality is that you have been trying to solve you for a long time. There's something about you or there's some things about you that you've been trying to fix, but you haven't been able to fix. You've been trying to solve you for a long time. It's possible that you've lost a job because there was something about you that you hadn't been able to fix. You've maybe lost a relationship or you've lost finances or maybe you've just lost self-esteem. Because there was something about you that you hadn't been able to fix, that you've looked in the mirror and you've said, what's wrong with me? Why do I keep doing this? Or why don't I start doing that? Now, you've got a theory, or maybe your wife has a theory, maybe your parents have a theory, maybe you even paid somebody to have a theory about what's wrong, but you haven't been able to fix what the problem is. Last week, we started in hearing from a man named Paul and what he wrote in the New Testament to give his explanation for why it is that we all have that similar experience. If we know what we ought to do, but we don't do it. We know what we should do, but we don't. And he had an explanation for us. So whether you're a church person or not, whether you're a God person or a Bible person or not, I think we can all identify with the way he described the problem. All right. And he described it in Romans chapter 7 like this. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. Again, for Paul, that was the Jewish law. But it could be just society's laws. Could be your own internal law. Because Paul would say, even though I don't know you, here's something I know about you. You don't even consistently do what you think you should do. Right? You know you have an internal law of what you should or shouldn't do, and you don't even consistently do that. I mean, forget what your wife says or what you think the church says or what you think God says or the Bible. You don't even do what you think you should do, right? Why is that? He goes on. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Again, that's kind of a universal experience, isn't it? We all can identify with the way Paul explains the problem there. You don't have to be a church person. You don't have to be a Bible person. We all get what he says. Now, here's his conclusion and where we kind of got to last week. He says, now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. Right? Paul said that there was this thing called sin, all right? And Paul described that there was a man in history named Adam, and that in the Garden of Eden, when Adam rebelled against God, he introduced this thing called sin into the world, all right? And Paul talked about sin as if it was a noun, right? If it was an entity, a thing. He said it was a disease that infected everything and everybody when Adam introduced it into the world. Now, usually we think of sin as a verb, all right, of what we do, all right? But Paul said sin is a noun, all right? As we said last week, sin is a noun that results in verbs, all right? Sin causes sinning. And Paul said that when this person named Adam introduced sin into the world, he's in some way and in a very real way that because Adam was human, Adam was the first human, that there was a way in which that all of us, that every human that ever lived was born into sin, and born into Adam, born under the power of sin, because Adam had introduced it into the world. He said, Paul says, the reason that description that he gave in Romans 7 rings so true to us, that we should, but we don't, we ought to, but we can't. The reason that we identify with that is, he says, because there's this, because we're born in Adam, because we're related to Adam, there's this thing called sin that actually lives inside of us, that actually has a power over us, and that at the time, it's like we don't even have a choice. And this is how Paul kind of sums up that after he describes that scenario of he knows what he ought to do, but he can't. And here's how he describes it. He says, what a wretched man I am. Right? And we don't say that, we don't use that word very much. It's not something we would say, what a wretched man I am. And Paul doesn't tell us what his particular issue was. And I'm kind of glad, because if his issue wasn't our issue, then, you know, we might not be able to identify with it. But all, what we know for sure is that this wasn't something little, right? This wasn't, I keep driving 5 miles per hour over the speed limit, or I keep, you know, leaving my socks on the ground. No, it wasn't something like that. This was something big, right? This wasn't, you know, oh, wretched man that I am, I keep forgetting to put the toilet seat lid down, right? It wasn't something like that, right? It was, oh, wretched man that I am, I keep forgetting to, you know, pick up my clothes and put them in the hamper. It wasn't something like that. It must have been something big, right? And we can all identify with that feeling, that angst, that I can't believe I did that again kind of a feeling. We might not say, you know, what a wretched man I am. We might say, you know, what an idiot I am. Why did I do that again? And look into the mirror and it's like, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Why do I keep doing that? We all understand that feeling, you know, that you're driving home late again, or you've just exploded at your kids again, or you've just looked too long or said the wrong thing again. And you think, why? What an idiot I am. Or Paul would say, what a wretched man I am. And at this point, Paul asks a question. Now, usually at this point, we would ask a question. Our question would be, what can save me? What can fix this? What can I do to change this? What can fix this problem? What can save me? Because we want a what, don't we? We want a what. We want somebody to give us a what. Give us a book to read. Right? Give us a principle to follow. Give us three easy steps. Right? We want a what? We want to listen to a sermon. We want to pray a prayer. We want to do something. We want a what? A what to fix us. Right? But what Paul's going to say, and this is what you already know, there's no what that can fix us. We know this to be true because you've searched for different whats. Right? Just like I have. You've tried this what and you've tried that what. And it worked for a minute and it worked for an hour and it worked for a day or a week. But the whats didn't solve the problem. And Paul goes on. Paul's question is not what can save me, but who will save me? Paul's question was not what, but who. Paul realized that the solution to our problem wasn't a what, it was a who. And he answers his question just in the very next verse. He says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul says that the answer to our question, the solution to our problem, it's not a what, but a who. And he introduces this character of Christ into the mix, the person of Jesus Christ. And Paul would say that this idea of being in Christ or through Christ, that concept is the key to understanding really all of the New Testament. If you read through the New Testament, all of Paul's writings and other people's writings, you'll come across these phrases a lot, through Christ, through Him, in Christ, in Him. And we kind of just read through that, but Paul says, no, it's the key to understanding everything that I'm about to say. We have to understand what this whole idea means, that the solution has to do with being in Christ, where it's found through Christ. He says that's the key to all of our understanding, that something fundamental changes that when we go from being in Adam to in Christ. Now, we kind of ended up our time last week together with this phrase, with this understanding. Just as the single unrighteous act of one man, in other words, just what Adam did in the Garden of Eden when he rebelled against God. Again, you may not believe in all that stuff. This is just Paul's explanation, okay, of what's a common problem to all of us. He said, just as the single unrighteous act of one man, that's what Adam did in the Garden of Eden, ensured that we were born a slave to sin. All right, I want to, but I can't. I ought to, but I don't. All right, just as the single act of one man ensured that we were born under the power of sin, we were born a slave to sin. He said, in the same way, so the single righteous act of one man, that is, Christ's death on the cross, right? The single righteous act of one man frees us from the power of sin. And at this point, you say, but wait a minute, I'm not free from the power of sin. And I would say, hang on, we're only in week two, all right? So buckle up, and we'll go with this. We're going to be in Romans chapter 6. All right, so if you've got your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 6. And again, we're in Romans. It's kind of a deep, confusing, we would say confusing part of the Bible, so we don't talk about it very much. But in church world, we don't like to say confusing, so we just say it's deep. All right, so we're not going to be confusing this morning. We're going to be deep. All right, and so are you with me? Can we buckle up? We're going to dive in. We're going to go a little bit deep this morning. and see what Paul would tell us. Romans chapter 6, we're going to start with verse 2. He says, "We died to sin, how can we live in it any longer? We died to sin, how can we live in it any longer?" To which you say, well, I can answer that one. That's easy. I don't even have to think about it. I don't have to be reminded to sin. It just comes naturally to me. Right? You want to say, "Preacher, you want to know how a Christian can continue living in sin? Just follow me around for a day or two." Right? That's easy. Right? That's not Paul's question. Paul's question is not how. He understands how. The question is, why? Why would you continue living in sin? Why would you continue, Paul would say, why would you continue saying yes to a master who's no longer your master? Why would you keep doing that? I understand how you would do it, but why? Why would you continue doing that? To which we would say, I didn't really realize I had a choice, right? I thought becoming a Christian meant, yeah, I became in Christ and so I'm forgiven, right? But then I continue sinning because nobody's perfect, but then I can be forgiven, right? But Paul says there's so much more to it than that. There's so much more to being in Christ than that. There's so much more to Christ dying for our sins than just going to heaven when we die. Paul says, "Didn't you know?" And we say, "I'm not sure I knew." So he continues. He says, "Don't you know? Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" Paul says, "Didn't you know?" At this point we say, "Well, Paul, I didn't really know, and now that you've even told me, I'm not sure I know." What does that even mean? What does that mean to be baptized into his death? And what Paul is saying is this, that when you were in Adam, certain things were true of you simply because of who you were related to, where you were, your position. He said, in the same way, when you go into Christ, certain other things now become true of you. Okay? And he says, you were baptized into Christ Jesus, baptized into his death, and so now that what is true of Christ is also true of you. He said, when you were here, what was true of Adam was true of you, separated from God, condemned because of our sin. All right, that was what was true of us. But when we go from in Adam to in Christ, then something new is now true of us. What is true of Christ is now true of you. It means if we're in Christ, when Christ died in a real way, it's as if we died too. And you say, but I wasn't there. But you weren't here either. Okay? Just in the same way that as a human, we were born into Adam, into sin, when we get placed from Adam into Christ, a new set of truths are real about us. All the benefits and the ramifications of Christ's death are now true of us if we are in Christ. Now, saying that we've died to sin doesn't mean that we can't sin anymore, right? That we can't be tempted or that sin has no allure to us or anything like that. What it means is that our relationship with sin has changed, right? When we were in Adam, sin was in control. Sin was the boss. Sin was our master, Paul would say. It was as if we were a slave to sin, as if we were powerless to do anything about it. As hard as we tried, as much as we wanted to, we couldn't. We knew what we ought to do, but we didn't. Or we knew what we shouldn't do, but we did. And he said it was just power. He said, yeah, that's sin living in you. But he said, once you've been baptized into Christ, you are baptized into his death, now you have a choice. Your relationship with sin has changed. You are no longer a slave to sin. Didn't you know that when you were placed into Christ, you were baptized into his death? And we say, well, I didn't really know. He continues on. We were therefore, verse 4, we were therefore buried with him, with Christ, through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a, what are those words? New life. Say that again. New life. Paul says, we were buried with Christ in baptism into death, and in the same way we were buried with him into death, we were also raised with him. Okay? That's why we baptize the way that we do. It's a picture of Christ's death and burial and resurrection. And Paul says, when you go from in Adam to in Christ, you are as if you died with him. All the benefits and the ramifications of Christ's death now apply to you. He said, in the same way, when you get placed into Christ, all the benefits and the ramifications of Christ's resurrection also apply to you. Okay? So where you were condemned and separated from God, now you are accepted and close to God. Where you were bound for eternity away from God, now you can go to heaven. Where you were under the power of sin, now you can live free from the power of sin. See, being in Christ means that we're not only free from the penalty of sin, right? That's death, right? Sin and death always go together, the Bible says. Death is always right on the heels of sin. You know that to be the case, right? You've seen things die in your life because of the sin in your life. Paul says, being in Christ means that we're not only free from the penalty of sin, but we're also free from the power of sin in our life. Okay? Being in Christ means we're not only free from the penalty of sin, yeah, we get to go to heaven when we die, but we're also free from the power of sin in our life. And Paul says, didn't you know that? Didn't you know that you could live free from the power of sin? And to which most of us would say, didn't really know. I thought we just got forgiven, and then we go about trying to do the best that we can. But since we're not perfect, then we, you know, we sin and then we confess. Most of our favorite verses are First John chapter 1, where it says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if you were brought up in church, that's probably one of your favorite verses, right? If you were brought up in the Catholic Church, you know, you've taken that confession thing, they took it to a whole new, you know, level, and they did incredible things with it. But whatever the system, it's all the same, right? We go out and we fill up our sin bucket, and then we come to church, or we come to the priest, or we come to do, and we dump out our sin bucket, right? And then we go and fill it up again, right? And then we come back in the next week with a full sin bucket, and we go through whatever process that, you know, we were taught, and we empty our sin bucket, and then we go out to fill it again. And Paul says, didn't you know you don't have to do that? That's not how it has to be. There's so much more to being a Christian than simply that, than simply going to heaven when you die. Yeah, that's great. There's something more to it here while you live. Paul says, we're not only free from the penalty of sin, that is, we get to go to heaven, we're also free from the power of sin in our life. In other words, he said, sin doesn't control where you go when you die, right? We talk about that all the time, you get to go to heaven. It also doesn't have to control what you do while you live, right? And that's huge. Paul says this is a much bigger understanding of what it means to be in Christ. When we go from Adam to in Christ, it means that sin no longer controls where we go when we die, but it also means sin no longer has to control what we do while we live. You see, Christ didn't just die so that we could be moral. All right? Christ didn't die on the cross so that we could just get a better handle on our sin or manage our sin a little bit better. Christ died so that we could actually be free from sin, so that we could live free from the power of sin in our life, to actually make us new people, to give us a new life, to make us a new creation. You may have heard people talk about it like that. Paul goes on, for we know that our old self, that is who we were in Adam, all right, we know that our old self, that person that continually struggled, that I know what I ought to do, but I don't, and I should, but I can't, and I want to, but I don't, all right, that person, he says, that old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin, so that sin might be rendered powerless, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Again, Paul says that when you go from into Adam to into Christ, that what is true of Christ is now true of you. We are in Christ. The ties that we had to Adam and all the ramifications of that, the sin and the destruction and the condemnation and the death that came with being in Adam, those ties have now been broken. When we were placed in Christ, those ties are broken. The part of us that has been ruled by sin and controlled by sin that we've kept saying yes to has been broken. And we no longer are a slave to sin. We no longer have to say yes to sin. We are free from the power of sin. And again, to which you say, well, you don't know me very well, all right? But listen, Paul was talking to people, and he was writing to people, most of whom he had never met before, okay? Paul was not telling them what their experience was. Paul was telling them what was true, right? And I'm not telling you this morning what your experience is. I know what your experience is. We could talk about that, all right? That's not as much fun, all right? We all understand what our experience is. We know what we ought to do and we don't. And you could tell your story and I can tell mine, and my things might look different than your things, all right? Paul's not talking about our experience. Paul's talking about what is true, right? He says that when we go from in Adam to in Christ, in a very real way, the power of sin has been broken in our life. He says, at the moment you were placed into Christ, the power of sin was broken. Sin no longer has control over you. You are no longer have to be a slave to sin. Well, why is that? He goes on. He says, because anyone who has died has been free from sin. Now, have been set free from sin. Have you ever tried to tempt a corpse? Right? Yeah, good luck with that, right? Because once you've died, you'll never sin again, right? You'll never look too long or drink too much or say the wrong thing ever again, right? Once you die, you're free from the power of sin. And Paul says in a very real way that when Christ died, if we have been placed into Christ, it was as if we died as well. And if we've died, then sin has lost its power. We are free from the power of sin because anyone who's died can't sin anymore, right? He goes on. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. For we know that since Christ died and was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. All right? Christ died on the cross. He rose from the dead. Anybody that can pull that off, all right, doesn't have to die again. All right? He says, once you do it once, you're good. All right? So Paul says, Christ died once and rose from the dead. He doesn't have to die again. All right? He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death he died to sin once for all. Right? Now, literally, that means he died once and for all. In other words, once and for all time. Okay? It went backwards and it went forwards. It doesn't have to do it again. And once for all. Once for every person. Once for everybody. Okay? So Paul says when the death Christ died, he died once and for all. But the life he lives to God. All right? Paul, again, says that when we go from being in Adam to in Christ, a transformation happening. Something fundamental changes in our core. I'm not talking about your experience, talking about what is true. All right? That when you go from being in Adam to in Christ, the power of sin is broken in your life. He concludes this way. He kind of gives us some handles on it. In verse 11, he says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin. You say, well, why would I do that? What does that mean? In the same way, he says, in the same way that Christ is dead to sin, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin because you are in Christ. And that word that he uses, count yourself, it's in the present tense. It means continually count yourself. In other words, continually remind yourself that you are in Christ and that you are dead to sin. Continually remind yourself that you are dead to sin. Why is that? He concludes in verse 14. For sin shall not be your master. For sin shall not be your master. Paul says the reality is this. That if you have gone from being in Adam to being placed into Christ, you are no longer in sin. That you are, sin is no longer your master. Sin is no longer your master. If you are a follower of Christ, if you have been placed into Christ, would you repeat that with me? I think it's on the screen here. Sin is not my master. Let's say that together. Sin is not my master. That sounded weird to say out loud, didn't it? Because for a lot of us, we sang that song earlier that went kind of over and over again. Sin has no hold on me. Right? Sin has no hold on me, and we sang that like forever and ever. All right? And most of you were probably like me, you know, what I would have been. It was like, yeah, sin has no hold on me, but you don't really know. Sin has no hold on me, but it still kind of does. Sin has no hold on me, but why am I even singing this? Because it doesn't make sense to me. All right? But Paul says this is reality. All right? Sin is not my master. If you have been placed into Christ, that is reality. All right? So let's just kind of whisper that, all right? Sin is not my master. Sin is not my master. Let's say it like we mean it. Sin is not my master. Let's say the rest of it. I am dead to sin, but alive to God. Let's say the whole thing together. Sin is not my master. I am dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. Most of us need to remind ourselves that 100 times a day to continually, as Paul said, continually count yourself dead to sin. Remind yourself that sin is not your master. Again, I'm not describing your experience. I'm describing what is true about you and to remind yourself of what is true. It's not the power of positive thinking, all right? It's the power of the truth in your life. And Paul says the reality from God's perspective is that if you've gone from in Adam to in Christ, the reality is sin is no longer your master. You are dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That when we are placed in Christ, everything changes. Best example I've ever heard about that is one of the international adoption. Now, many of you probably know someone who's adopted a child internationally. Maybe someone here has had that experience, right? And so the child comes from, you know, China or Africa or Russia or someplace like that. And there's multiple layers of authority in that child's life, right? He lives in an orphanage, and he's told when to wake up and what to eat and what to wear and when to go to bed. Every aspect of that child's life is dictated to him, right? And then, with the stroke of a pen, now, if you've ever actually adopted someone or know someone, it's many strokes of many pens, right? But with a stroke of a pen, everything about that child changes, right? Even if that child doesn't know. In fact, many times the child is too young to understand or doesn't know what's going on. So beyond the understanding, beyond the comprehension of the child, with a stroke of a pen, everything about the reality for that child changes. He goes from having one name to having another name. In many cases, he goes from having no wealth at all to having wealth, to having no family to having a family, to having no future to having a future. Everything about this child's reality has changed with the stroke of a pen. Right? But if that child has been in that system a long time, and maybe you've heard stories like this, the longer it takes for them to adjust to their new reality, their new life, their new place, because you may have heard stories where, you know, kids that come out of adoption like that would hoard their food or whatever. They would keep a little bit extra and they would hoard it because that's what they were used to. They didn't know there was going to be more food that came the next time, right? And so they would hoard their food. It would take them a while to learn that there would be more food coming. Or maybe they would, it would be hard for them to trust any adult because every adult in their life had been abusive to them, whatever. And it takes them a while to adjust to their new situation. That doesn't change the reality of their new situation, because everything has changed. They have a new name and a new reality. Most importantly, with the stroke of a pen, all those people that had authority in their life no longer have authority in their life. The director of the orphanage can say whatever they want to. They could come all the way to the United States and knock on the new door, right? And they could start making demands and saying, you know, this child needs to go to bed now, and this child needs to do that, and this child needs to do that. But the parents, what, they can come to the door and they can say, no, I'm sorry. You no longer have authority here. This child belongs to us. Don't miss this, all right? Paul is saying that whether you knew it or not, whether you understood it or not, whether anybody ever told you or not, when you went from being in Adam to in Christ, everything changed. You went from having one name to having another name. You went from having one identity to having another identity. You went from one destiny to another destiny. Everything about you changed. And instantly, sin lost its authority over you. With the stroke of a pen, or when you accepted Christ, right? When you were placed into Christ and were baptized into Him, a legal transaction happened. Sin now no longer has authority over you. And you may have been saying yes to sin your whole life, right? Even since you became a Christian. But the reality is, with the stroke of a pen, your situation changed. And now sin no longer has authority in your life. And so now, sin can come calling to your new home, right? And you can knock on the door and say, remember when, and how about this, and why don't we do that? But you can say, whenever temptation knocks, you can say, Jesus, can you get that? And Jesus can come to the door and He can say, I'm sorry, sin, you no longer have authority here. This child now belongs to me. And just the same way that if a child had been in the system a long time, you can understand how that if we had spent a long time living here, it might be hard for us, or we still might have some of the tendencies of life here, even though there is something new that is true about us. But that doesn't change the reality that authority that was once over our life, that power is no longer there. We are no longer a slave to sin. Sin is no longer our master. As we'll see next week, the only authority that sin has in our life is what we give it. See, sin's no longer our master, it's no longer our owner, it no longer controls us unless we say yes to sin, unless we say yes to a master who's no longer our master. Before, Paul would say, you didn't really have a choice, but now you do have a choice. Because again, Paul says that being in Christ not only means that we're free from the penalty of sin, not only free from death and get to go to heaven, that's true, but not only free from the penalty of sin, but we're also free from the power of sin in our life. Right? That sin no longer has to control what we do while we live. Can you imagine living a life like that? Can you imagine this afternoon, you know, when that old temptation comes back up, the one that you're so familiar with? What would that be like to be able to say and identify, wait a minute, sin, wait a minute, no, you're not my master. Sin, you're not my master. I'm dead to you, sin. I'm alive. And God, what would it be like to live like that? To be able to remind yourself, to be able to say, wait a minute, that's just sin trying to take me back to captivity. That's just sin reminding me of who I used to be, but that's not who I am anymore. That's just sin trying to get me to be someone that's something, to act as if something's true that's not true about me anymore. Because Paul says, even if you've been saying yes to sin all of your life, at the stroke of the pen, when you went from being in Adam to in Christ, something fundamentally changed in reality about you, and that sin is no longer your master. Now, this might be a new thought for some of you, but I just think we need to do everything that we can to get our arms around this concept, this idea, this truth that Paul would teach us from Romans, that if we are in Christ, sin is no longer our master. And so many of you may need to just take this phrase and put it on a 3x5 card. The sin is not my master. I'm dead to sin, alive in Christ, or however what you want to write it down. But put it down on a 3x5 card. Put it down on a whole pack of 3x5 cards. Put it on your dashboard. Put it on your mirror that you see in the morning. Put it on your computer screen, on your television screen. Put it in your pocket. Put it in your other pocket, all right? So that every time you see it, all right, hundreds of times every day, we need to remind ourselves, there's something new that's true about me. Sin is not my master. I'm dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. When Christ died, I died. I'm dead to the power of sin. Now, this morning, I'm not even asking you to change your behavior, all right? Now, you can if you want to, and that'd be great, all right, to go ahead and change. But just before you do whatever it is you always do, all right? Just remind yourself. Just take 1 second on the way to there and pause and say, sin, you're not my master. I'm dead to you. Now, you can go ahead and do it if you want to. My hope is that you might not want to. But just to get your arms around that idea, this concept of, wait a minute, sin is not my master. I now have a choice. I can choose if I want to let sin have authority in my life. Because sin has no authority other than what I give it. If I am in Christ, as if I've died to the power of sin, and sin no longer has authority. Now, when this concept becomes real to you, this I'm dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ, when that becomes the grid through which you look at everything, through if you can remind yourself when those temptations come at you, if you can pause just a second and say that, it can be transformational in your life. It can totally change how you do things. In fact, since several months ago, since I heard this teaching for the first time, I mean, I haven't sinned since. Yeah, right. But it is different. It really is different. It does make a difference when our outlook changes and we realize that sin is no longer our master. And Paul would say, you're right, it makes a difference because you are not who you used to be. You are no longer who you used to be. Sin no longer has control over you. You are no longer the person you used to be. So why would you continue living like you used to live? If you have been placed into Christ, the reality is this: sin is no longer your master.